Blog Talk Radio.
Evening here in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hope it's nice wherever you are at. May not be nice for Atlanta Braves fans right now, but hey, we'll get to that in a minute. And still, y'all still leading the series, all good. But anyway, welcome to tonight's edition of the podcast. This is your host, the most, Scott Burks. I'm the creator of the sports blog called The Clown Times. It's Clown spelled with K. You can find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. And you can find me on Facebook as well. Wherever you view, whether you're on your smartphone, laptop, desktop, just go to the search window in Facebook and type in The Clown Times. Again, that's Clown spelled with K. You can find me there as well. We got a lot to get into tonight. We'll be wrapping up, you know, the NBA Finals. Talk about how that will affect LeBron James' legacy, as if he will be the greatest player of all time or not. We'll also be talking about the Major League Baseball Playoff League Championship Series, or LCS, as they call it, for short. Talk about what the Braves are doing with the Dodgers, as well as the Rays doing God's work on those cheating-ass Astros. And we'll be talking about the NFL games this week, what we liked last week, and the firings, of course, of Coach Dan Quinn of the Atlanta Falcons, which, to me, came a couple of seasons too late, but nonetheless, I've been breaking that down with my partner in crime, y'all know him from the yard, / HBCU Sports, the rest about all things HBCU Sports, as well as Sleazy Radio on Facebook Live every Tuesday night. You can catch us work on Heroesports.com as well. Dwayne Nash is back in the saddle with us. D-Nice, how you doing, brother?
Man, oh, man, I know you don't want to hear about my troubles, so I won't talk about them, but outside of that, I am blessed, you know, like I told you last week, I am now a year older, so I am living in that and enjoying that, man, and taking in the fall sports as much as I can, you know, and amongst all of the busyness that I'm going through right now. So, you know, just trying to get through the rest of October unscathed emotionally. How about that?
There you go. Hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. So, are you a 75 baby or 74?
I am 75.
Okay, there you go. I'm almost
to make it more interesting. Yeah, you're 2 years older than I am. But to make it more interesting, I was born the exact same day that Saturday Night Live first aired.
Get out of town.
I'm very serious. I've known this for some time now. So, you know, when they say this is their 46th season, I'm like, yes, it's your 46th season, but dude, calm down. You've been around for 45 years. You're not going to go ahead and push that extra one on us. Don't do that. But, yeah, the exact same day. The exact same day.
Right. Well, you could call it like a day close to the end. Well, you're close to the end. Did you do anything to celebrate big? Take the day off or drink up?
Unfortunately, I couldn't get the day off, even though it was a Sunday. You know, my 9 to 5 around this time of the year, especially during election seasons, are extremely busy for us. So I couldn't get the day off, unfortunately. But I did. A buddy of mine came in town, and we watched the NBA Finals, or we watched as much as we could stomach.
Yeah, because And that's an interesting segue because, of course, this game six was like a laugher. The shit was over before. So it was a matter of just watching the rest of the game. If you were a Lakers fan, or just wanted to watch the Laker coronation take place the last two quarters of that game. So as expected, the Lakers made work of the Miami Heat, the undermanned Miami Heat, the under-talented Miami Heat, but the tough Miami Heat. I gave him six games. A lot of people gave him five. I think you may have given him five as well, but I gave him six because I like Miami's toughness, even though we all knew that Miami, just on paper, was in on the court, as we all saw, like, the Lakers were just a better team. They were just better than Miami. And there's no shame for Miami to get beat like they did in game six. They just ran out of gas. You can tell Jimmy Butler was late. But they did all they could, man. The Lakers are just better, you know, physically and talent-wise. But let me ask you this, man. This is LeBron's fourth ring, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he might be the first to have to not only have rings with three different teams, but be the focal point and also have grabbed but finals MVP for all three. So he beat Kawhi Leonard out for that, you know, if Kawhi's team didn't choke against the Denver Nuggets, they didn't have a chance at it. But at any rate, so given that LeBron has four rings with three different organizations, as well as MVPs, finals MVPs, with three different organizations. The talk is wrapping up again, but where does this rank him in the GOAT discussion? You know, the shortest circumference out there, LeBron, the LeBron apologist led by Nick Wright and Shannon Sharp, two of my favorite guys, is that are out there. But where do you think LeBron ranks in the pantheon of GOATness when it comes to the NBA?
Well, I'm going to hold off on my rankings as of right now, right? I'm going to start with this. What we're seeing with LeBron James really hasn't been done in our lifetime, right, in terms of what I can remember. How many trips to the NBA Finals consecutively with three different teams is insane, right?
Yeah, he had eight. I think he had eight straight at one point.
Yeah, see, eight straight. He, it then what, 9 out of 10?
Yeah,
so
9 out of 10. Yep, correct.
That is insane, right?
Yeah.
I can't think of anyone in our lifetime that has done that. Now, the one stat that everyone likes to talk about, and as a matter of fact, you just brought it up, was the fact that he was capable of winning Finals MVP with three different teams, and no one else has done that before. That is more so a reflection of the times than his ability, in my opinion. Because, I mean, if we weren't in this era of free agency where players were capable of controlling their own I don't like calling it their own destiny, but for lack of a better term, their own situation, right? Where they're capable of signing deals, and in some cases shorter deals, and if they feel as though that team isn't a fit for them, they can go ahead and get out without any penalty. They can just go ahead and play with these teams. You see deals now that are 2-year deals, 3-year deals, just so they can figure out whether or not the organization will be able to win quickly, and if they can't, they can go ahead and bounce potentially to a team that can, or stay with that team if they think that team can figure it out within the next couple of years. And LeBron has been a main culprit of that situation. You know, if you look at his deal when he first went back to when he first went to Miami, that wasn't necessarily a long-term deal, even though he made long-term promises. Then he went back home to Cleveland. The situation in Cleveland wasn't necessarily a long-term deal there. And then, of course, he was capable of moving on and going to the Lakers. And I think that deal with the Lakers was like a 3-4 year deal. So, you know, it's these players aren't like the players that we grew up with in the 80s, that stuck around with franchises their entire career for the most part. So to see a guy do it in our era, like Jordan, who won six NBA titles, six finals MVPs, if Mike was like this era, or if Mike played in this era, he probably would have done the same thing. So it's not to say that LeBron is necessarily better than anyone else because he pulled that off. It's just a different time. As for my ranking, we've talked about this several times on this show, and he hasn't necessarily moved in terms of my ranking. He's in my second tier of a three-tier hierarchy, right? That first tier consists of Kareem, Magic, Bird, Jordan in that order. Yes, be mad at me that I have Jordan 4th in that order, or you Jordan fans out there. Do what you will. You can go ahead and tweet me at Dwayne_Nash. Do what you will. You won't change my mind. Matter of fact, I have arguments. Hey, I'm not scared of nobody. I ain't scared of you, mother. Hey, matter of fact, I have arguments where I have Kobe, his 5 rings, being tougher than Mike and his 6. But that's another conversation for another day. Speaking of Kobe, Kobe is in that second tier of greatness, along with LeBron James, Wilt Chamberlain, and Bill Russell. Now, if you look at longevity in terms of greatness, Bill, and in terms of the amount of time they made it to the NBA Finals, Bill, Wilt, even though Wilt only has 2 titles, Wilt made it to the championship several times and had to face Bill Russell in those NBA Finals. So they have that greatness in terms of longevity and playing on great teams. I just don't necessarily have them being better than anyone on my top 4 level. And I just find it interesting, of course, as soon as LeBron won his 4th title, all of the memes came out. One of my favorites is a highlight of where each and every LeBron ring came from or how he received that ring, one being the bubble ring, which I won't hold that against LeBron. I've said it before. I say it again. Them Bammers played over 70 games. That's almost an entire NBA season. Say what you will. That's a season for me. Forget you.
Right.
Then, of course, there's the NBA lockout ring. They like to put that on there. Then the one that he won, that Ray Allen won for him. I'm doing that in air quotes. That, yes, Ray hits the shot in game 6. But they still win game 7, right? You know, it's as much as you can blame the Ray for winning that title by hitting that shot at the end of game 6, they still had game 7 that the Spurs should have won but didn't win. But I digress. And then, of course, you have his first title, which was against Oklahoma City. Well, no, the first one was the Oklahoma City Thunder one. I think that was the strike-shortened one. And then I forget how they said the 4th one was. But either way, the meme basically is not giving any credit based upon what LeBron has done. And there were some people questioning why LeBron won the MVP in the finals this year. I'm like, yo, really?
Mm-hmm.
This dude averaged a triple-double.
Right. Right.
Who does that?
I don't know. So why ask why?
It's a short list of dudes that do that, and LeBron is on that list. Calm down with the he didn't deserve the MVP. The finals MVP, putting out a triple-double, and matter of fact, outperforming statistically Anthony Davis, who a lot of people thought should have won the finals MVP.
Right. I agree with that. So right quick, before I delve into my analysis, how do you rank the top 5 all-time again? Can you give me the top 5 all-time again?
Okay, but I'm going to go ahead and give you my top 5. My top 5 in this order are at number 5, Wilt Chamberlain, number 4, Jordan, number 3, Larry Bird, number 2, Magic, and number 1, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But that 5 is real tightly followed by Bill Russell, Kobe Bryant, and LeBron James.
Interesting. Well, as far as where this lands LeBron, the GOAT discussion, you know me. My goal
yes.
has always have been Magic Johnson. Because, you know, I've said this, I've bloviated on this time and time again, and I'll just do it again for the listeners one more again, if you will. Magic Johnson, as a rookie, he's the only rookie to win both Finals MVP and lead us, you know, and be the focal point of leading this team to a title. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's the only rookie to win Finals MVP. And that was damn near four. That was like four. That's been 40 years in counting. Still the only man to do it. Okay? And I know people would be like, well, yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on the team, blah, blah, blah. Okay, here's the deal. Sure. But keep in mind that a clinching game six against an excellent Philadelphia 76ers squad with Dr. J in his prime, still in his prime, DB Magic Johnson subbed for an injured Kareem in game six, scored 42 points, and grabbed over double-digit rebounds and handed out over double-digit assists. Okay? A rookie did this. And as far as people want to just say, yes, I'll still stay on the Kareem argument, and by the way, I have Kareem rated high on my list, which I'll get to momentarily. The same team with Kareem sans Magic Johnson the year before finished, May, I think, 45-37 off the top of my head, if I remember correctly, and ended up bouncing out in the second round of the West Conference playoffs. That's where that Laker team was before Magic.
Yeah.
Okay? Also, they introduced us to Showtime, partly thanks to Pat Riley as well, but also – by the way, Magic was the first truly big point guard. I know people like to say Oscar Robertson was the first big guard at 6'5", but Magic Johnson was a 6'9" point guard. Let me say that again for the people in the back. Magic Johnson was a 6'9", the size of a power forward point guard. The first truly big and played it at a very, very high level. And he also could, by the way, play all five positions as established in the 1980 NBA Finals at a high level. He could play all five easily. And, you know, the thing is that people don't remember as well, he eventually unseated the very good Norm Nixon for your old school
yeah.
fans out there. Norm Nixon, for those people who do not remember, was a damn good NBA player. A damn good player. But that's how good
Magic
Johnson
was. Married to the also fine Debbie Allen.
That's correct. Fine like fine wine, right? But the thing is that Magic was so good. And by the way, people, look up Norm Nixon on YouTube. And you'll see my point.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson was so good, he unseated him. And caused him to made him expendable to be traded. Again, that's how good Magic was. Great Magic was in his early years. So, again, and also one more thing. People like to talk about LeBron's 10 finals trips, and he's not done yet, and I get it. Magic Johnson went to 9 NBA finals, winning 5 of them. He lost to the great teams in Boston, Larry Bird, and the Celtics. Got swept by Moses Malone and Dr. J and the Sixers. They lost to they got swept by the Pistons when he was lost to injury, as well as Byron Scott. And I think James Worthy James Worthy had to carry the bag for the rest of the team that series, rather than beat the Pistons the year before. And they lost to the Bulls in 91 when Magic, while he was still playing very well, he was out of his prime. So those was four losses, and to go along with five in NBA Finals victories. So that's nothing to sniff at as well. So again, to me, Magic is the GOAT. And I'm not even a Lakers fan, as you know. I'm a Knicks fan. I was trained and raised to hate both the Lakers and the Celtics. Understand? So I'm not capable for the Lakers as a Lakers fan. I'm just telling you as I see it. So he's my top guy. And actually, my top two are unique in the sense I have a 1 and a 1A, if that makes any sense. My 1A is Kareem. Kareem easily. Kareem, again, for you youngsters out there, YouTube. YouTube's your best friend right now. Like, Kareem, 7 feet 2 inches tall. People say, of course, he's a big guy. But he also gave us the most unstoppable shot, the sky hook. No matter what you could do as a defender, no matter how well you scheme defensively, it's like one of those shots where you know it's coming, but you can't do a damn thing about it. Because 9 times out of 10, if he gets in the, if Kareem gets in his spot, it will go in. That's just the that's Kareem. And also he was great defensively as well. And I think he, how many MVPs did he have? I think he had, I'm gonna look at it, but I think he had like 4 or 5 MVPs.
If memory serves me, I think he has the same amount of league MVPs as Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong about that though.
Let's see. He's a 6-time NBA champion. Obviously, we all know that. Right now, he's a 6-time. Yeah, 6-time. 6-time Most Valuable Player Award. 71, 72, 74, 76, 77, 1980. 6 times. And I know people like to bag on Kareem because, you know, he was seen as surly. He stayed to himself a lot. He wasn't magic. Okay. He was reluctant superstars. But and also people hold against the fact that he was very socially conscious. Still is very socially conscious. I praise him for that. And he possibly cost himself a lot of money because of that alone. But the fact remains is Kareem, I know we're talking NBA greats, but his greatness transcends that. I mean, he won on every level. He won in high school.
Mm-hmm.
He won in college. He only lost 1 time in high school, if memory serves correctly. Okay?
Yeah,
he won
it was only
in
one.
College.
Yeah.
He lost only once in high school. One in college, and one, of course, in the pros. 6 NBA titles in the pros. 6, 2 Finals MVP, and the last one coming in 1985, if you can believe that. And 6, of course, the aforementioned 6 Most Valuable Player, regular season Most Valuable Player awards. So he's my 1A. My number 3 is Larry Bird. People like to bag on Bird. I mean, call him unathletic. Again, to you youngsters out there, YouTube's your best. It's your best friend. Use it. Bird is. To call him the baddest white boy who ever played is an insult. He's one of the best players.
Yeah,
one of the best players ever. I mean, Larry Bird, I mean, it's rare to have him. First of all, he talked the most shit ever of all time. He was the biggest one, the biggest shit. People don't know that because he did it quietly. He did it subtly. He wasn't as bombastic about it as Gary Payton and whatnot. But dude did. I mean, the fact that he would tell you, according to James Worthy and Dominic Wilkins, 2 guys who guarded him.
Mm-hmm.
He would tell you what shot he was going to take, what he was going to do to go around you, and what move he was going to get. I mean, not in that particular order, but basically is that he told you the move he was going to use on you, what shot he was going to take, and say that you can't do anything about it. And he would call you Holmes in the process. Like, it's like, that's defense, Holmes. You call him Holmes. But I mean, he would do it. And there's a clip of him in a game, I think in Portland. I think in 1985 season. He took every shot left-handed because he wanted to save his right hand for the next game against the Lakers. Magic Johnson. In the Lakers. So he took every shot left-handed. He scored over 30 points. And hit the game winner. Left-handed. The man was bad. He was a badass.
Yeah.
He was just a, he was a badass. To say that he was going to take shoot every shot left-handed against Portland. And mind you, that was a great Portland team at the time. Clyde Drexler and I think Jerome Kirstie played on that squad at the time. I think Terry Porter along later. But that was a damn good squad. Kevin Duckworth was on that squad. Rest in peace. I mean, that was no chop living. It was played at Portland. It was a miss of a road. So the man, again, Larry Bird said, told his teammates and his coaches, he was going to shoot left-handed so he could save his right hand against him for the Lakers. So he shot every jump shot, shot free throws, left-handed, and scored over 30 points. Unbelievable. Un-fucking-believable. And let's not forget that three-point contest. I forgot what year it was, where he shot every shot in his warm-ups. And before that, he went up to the group of guys who were going to compete against him, which included the great Dale Ellis, and I think Reggie Miller was in that competition as well. He went up to them and asked him, which one of you guys will be coming in second place? Larry Legend. Ladies and gentlemen, Larry freaking Legend. So that's my number three. Number four is Michael Jordan. Six NBA titles, 6-0, six MVPs, never went to a game seven. Enough said. And my number five, that's tricky. Because I vacillated between, I thought about Shaq a lot because in his prime, he was a force out there. I thought about Tim Duncan, whose bench so sweet, that bench that he had was sweet. And I momentarily thought about Karl Malone, even though he didn't win a title. He was just money down the block and off the pick and rolls with John Stockton. But I guess if you got to put a gun to my head, I'd have to put Tim Duncan over LeBron. I just would have to. I mean, Tim Duncan in his prime, man, you couldn't do anything to that 15-foot bank shot. He was money. He did it quietly in a small market. That's his knock. That's the knock against him. And even though I thought about moving LeBron into the number five spot, because, again, he's the first to win titles with three teams and win finals MVP with three teams. Even though he won just four, but he's 4-6 in the finals, but he's been in 10 finals. You can't knock that. I mean, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but I'm still going back and forth between putting LeBron in that five spot. I really do. So that's my top five. But I will say this right quick. I will say that the finals win in L.A. has put him in the conversation, of the GOAT conversation. It's just that he's a little bit lower on my GOAT list, given my reverence for the 80s basketball and taking everything in its totality. But I think you got to put him up there. Now, as far as Rushmore, he has to knock out either Magic, Bird, Kareem to go with Jordan. And I don't know if he can knock out Larry Bird. I don't think he can knock out Larry Bird still. Larry Bird is a bad man. He won, quote, only three NBA titles. But he was a bad boy. I mean, he was a bad boy. So, again, youngsters out there, YouTube is your friend. I advise you use it. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. So that's just how I stand with that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'll say this though. I will give these LeBron Sixers fans out there this. If LeBron wins one more title, if he wins one more title to go over 5 titles and 11 finals appearances, to space it out, to give him is to next year. If he wins it next year, it can't be the year after. If he wins it next year, that would give him 12. No, my math's not right. It will give him 11 finals appearances in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
5 titles in 10 years. But the 11 out of the last 10, I think that would put him on Mount Rushmore for sure.
Wow. Wow.
I'm a
now, I will say this real quick. One of the reasons why I don't think he'll ever crack my top 4 is a quote that I use quite often on Sleazy Sports, WDP, who they play. And if you look at the teams in which he's beaten versus the teams in competition that, you know, some of the other greats have beaten in order to win an NBA title, I would say that LeBron's is probably the weakest of the competition. And that's not necessarily a full slight on him because you can only beat who you can play, right? That still has a lot to do with expansion and also the way that the sport of basketball is being played right now and how players make it to the pros and how a lot of these guys are underdeveloped in the game, how it's played completely different and less physical. Now, I also like to point out, you know, as much as everyone likes to talk about how soft LeBron is, you got to remember that the players of today are a byproduct of the Jordan rules. And never forget that. They're only soft because it got to a point where no one wanted to see the key player hurt and beat up in games in the early 90s. So that's why it's the butterfly effect. We are where we are right now with that. So stop your statements about LeBron being soft. It is what it is, right? And also, he's playing the way that his high school coach said that he was playing even in high school. As much as he emulated with his build and with his size and with his ability, he more emulated Magic Johnson than Michael Jordan because he was a big body that could pass the ball and handle the rock as well. And he's starting to play more like that guy right now. And becoming more of a facilitator, but at the same time taking over when need be, which is beautiful to see for someone like myself and probably someone like you that loves Magic Johnson as much as we do. I still like, okay, his marquee win, and I'm not holding it against him, is against the Golden State Warriors, the 72-win Golden State Warrior team, right?
Right.
Great win. Right. Took him 7 games to do it, and that's not a slight on them either. But, God, his other wins, the Spurs team who eventually beat them the following year, the Oklahoma City Thunder, who never as a team really evolved into anything, and now this Miami Heat team, who I don't even know will return to the NBA Finals next season, so.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I'm like, he hasn't necessarily beaten great competition to win his titles, but he still is one of the best of his era. I'm not going to take that away from him. Not at all. But in terms of all the times, I still can't do it. And I don't. There's not much he can do right now unless somehow the 80s Lakers – the 80s Celtics and the 90s Bulls all come back and play in the NBA for the next 3 years, and the Lakers end up beating them for the next 3 years. That's the only way he'll get in my top 4, but that's not happening either. So, yeah.
I see. It's tough. It's tough.
It is
again,
tough.
This playoff, I mean, it was a bubble. None of the things that happened, that's, they were not his fault. I mean, everyone went to the bubble, right? So it's different as far as home, no home court advantage. It's like an AAU tournament, right?
Mm-hmm.
People play every other day in different courts in Disney World. Well, essentially it was Disney World. But it wasn't also LeBron's fault that the Clippers were choking dogs against the Nuggets. For three straight games, up three games to one, and they had large double-digit leads in all three games that they ended up losing, choking away. And it's also not the LeBron's fault that the Bucks got housed by the Heat in five games.
Yeah.
And it's also not the fault that the Heat handled its business against a more talented Celtics team. Both Celtics and the Bucks were giving the Lakers, in my opinion, a much better finals because of matchups. You know, the Bucks being long, just as long as the Lakers, and, you know, the Celtics being not as long per se, but they were much deeper and much more talented and better coached. So, you know, I mean, you just can't knock LeBron for that. But again, like I said before, it is what it is. You know, he lost six finals, and his competition, I mean, he ruled the East, a weak-ass Eastern Conference. Let's just be real about it. He ruled a weak Eastern Conference. Even though you have better teams, as far as like record-wise, like that one year where the Hawks won over 60 games, and the Raptors winning close to 60 games, not over 60 games.
Mm-hmm.
They could never get over the LeBron hump.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, let's be real, that Atlanta team that won over 60 games, they were soft. They were tissue paper soft. They got swept by LeBron. So, and LeBron, I think the Lakers were the three seed that year, I think. And
they might have been
sweeping them. And they end up sweeping them. So, again, it is what it is. Let's put it that way. But that's why I say, again, that if LeBron wins the next year, goes to the finals and wins it, that would be his 11th appearance in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
That would be That would be his 11th in 12 years. Because this last year was his 10th and 9th.
Yes.
Yeah, 10th and 11 years. Yeah, I'm sorry, I got my mouth all fucked up. But anyway, beat it as a
That's fine. But whenever anyone says that I have to count on that with this, you know, you also have to remember that Bill Russell and those Celtics teams have a very similar feat. They accomplished a very similar feat. No one talks about Bill Russell being in the top five. Even though he should be, you know. So, I mean, you can't praise one for doing it and chastise another for doing the exact same thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. But anyway, if LeBron wins it next year, it'll be tougher. Hey, it'll be a lot tougher. Because now you got the Warriors in the Western Conference alone. You have the Warriors with a lot healthier.
Yes, who's Zach?
With a full return of Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson. You got
the Clippers.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, well, whatever. And then you have the Clippers. Now, I was saying about the Clippers. They're the wild card. Now, if Ty Lue gets the Clippers job, and if they don't move Paul George and give him a heart transplant, they'll be tough. Okay? Then the Nuggets aren't going anywhere. They still will have Jamal Murray and the Joker himself and those snipers, as well as what's that kid named with three names? That yellow kid. What's his name? Michael somebody. Michael Porter Jr., right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I called him yellow. I should have called him beige. But anyway, that guy. They're not going anywhere. And then you have, I'm sorry, I'm color struck. I'm an average black dude. I'm color struck. Among all people. Who else? Houston, I think they may break up the band in Houston. So I'm not too sure about Houston. But I think Utah will still be there. Dallas
mm-hmm.
is going to be very good next year. They're going to be mm-hmm. hella good next year. They're definitely not going anywhere. So that alone. And watch out for Phoenix, too. Phoenix had a great bubble. They were undefeated in
Phoenix
the bubble.
Phoenix had a great bubble. Portland
yeah.
looked good. Who else?
Well, I mean, I
like Portland coming into the playoffs, I should say. I like them, but they just didn't look well, unfortunately, against the Lakers.
Right.
And then if somehow, some way, I'm not saying that this team is going to compete for a title. Not at all. They're not even going to compete for the conference. The thing is, though, how strong would they be within the Western Conference? And that is the New Orleans Pelicans, and whether or not they can mature in a year and somehow, some way, Zion Williamson can stay healthy and look like the Zion that we saw at Duke. And we can't forget about the Memphis Grizzlies, another team that was extremely young this year that looked good in the bubble and early on in the playoffs. Yeah.
Love him. Love Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then let's get to the East right quick. You know, Toronto's not going anywhere. I think they may resign Lowry, who's the leader, and maybe
mm-hmm.
get that. Van Vliet back in the fold.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going anywhere. Boston's
no.
definitely not going anywhere. Milwaukee, no. depending on what they do with Giannis, is not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Miami, of course, will still be there. And
mm-hmm.
guess who's coming to Brooklyn? Healthy, fully healthy, Kyrie and Kevin Durant. They're going to
exactly.
be there. Oh, by the way, the Nets, by the way, let's just say a quick aside. You're a Jersey guy. I'm a Jersey guy. You saw the new threads? There are new throwbacks?
I have not.
It's a thing of beauty.
Seen them yet.
Google it. You would thank me that you did. They're basically paying homage to the 1985 season, I think, where they had those sweet light blues.
Yes.
Google it. You would thank me for looking it up. But anyway, that's going to be the new throwbacks.
Speaking of new jerseys, real quick, your thoughts on the Atlanta Hawks MLK unis?
I love them. Absolutely.
I mean, of course
love
you would. It's black and gold. What do you? Yeah, kind of. It's just me the cop.
Hey, fine. but you know, look, I love them. I love those jerseys. It's typical ATL. So it's flair, but I really love the concept and I love the look. Love the look. But we're digressed. But the point is that the NBA is going to be stacked next year in both conferences. And if LeBron were to emerge victorious next season, it'll be time for me to put on Mount Rushmore for sure. If he pulls off next year, get spring. And what would be his 11th finals appearance in 12 seasons. It'll be time. It will be time. Moving along, speaking of time, baseball. You're a big Braves fan. You were happy. You hadn't been happy the first two games.
Yes,
so
I was.
Last game, well, but even though last game, y'all almost gave back a big lead. But you pulled it out. Dodger momentum at the end of game two last night. Carried over tonight. They put an 11 spot on y'all, man. In the first inning, 11 runs. Woo!
Yes. Very reminiscent to what happened against the St. Louis Cardinals in that closeout game in the NLDS last year. Very reminiscent.
Yeah. And so now the Dodgers, it's a series now. I don't see the Dodgers giving up 14 runs. And in the ninth inning, but at any rate, you have to be happy though with your Braves. You haven't underachieved yet. You made quick work of the Reds. and you did the same in the second round against, I can't remember who y'all beat in the second round.
The Marlins.
Marlins, that's right. Those wow, that was it's not a main rivalry, but you but those that was heated, which y'all pulled it out.
Yeah.
But to me, what I like about this series is both your beloved Braves and the Dodgers are built similarly. Both of y'all could pitch well,
mm-hmm.
and could really rake. Both of y'all could really hit. So this to me. Even one team scored a lot of runs tonight. I mean, game two, 15 runs were scored. It was 8-7. So seeing these high-scoring games isn't too surprising to me, per se, even though both pitching staffs are, like, stellar. I just – I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, bro. I know the Braves are doing well. I know that you guys aren't underachieved yet. And it helps that you play in another team, against another team that historically underachieves when it matters supposed to play well from the Dodgers. But that momentum swinging into the Dodgers' favor right now. But I'm just kind of worried for y'all. But it's still, you know, you still be up 2-1. And it's the best of 7. So it's far from over, obviously. But they have to have some concern going to game 4 if you're a Braves fan.
Not yet. Not yet, and the reason why I don't is because coming into the playoffs as a whole, even though we came in as the number 2 seed, you know, a lot of experts looked at Atlanta's pitching staff as being the lesser of the staffs in just about every series that they've been in. Well, maybe except for the Marlins series, but the Cincinnati series, they looked at Atlanta as being the lesser of the two staffs, and they most definitely looked at Atlanta being the lesser of the two staffs between them and the Dodgers. And they most definitely outpitched the Cincinnati. And I'm not saying that their bats are outplaying the Dodgers. And, well, in the first two games, they were this game 3, so I'm holding on the monster. But my thing is, hopefully this team, unlike last year, will have an opportunity to shake off an 11-run inning and move on to game 4 and hopefully come back, because the thing I don't want to happen is this series to go 2-2 and the Dodgers get momentum and gain confidence, because just like you said, you know, especially in recent history, the Dodgers have been known to underachieve, in most cases coming into the playoffs as a number 1 seed and as the heavy favorite every year. But it's always something, and in most cases it's pitching. And for them not to have Kershaw last night was big, even though the Dodgers still almost came from behind to win that one. So, yeah, if they can go ahead and win game 4, you know, hopefully they'll take this series and advance to the World Series for the first time since 1995. But, yeah, the thing that I don't want to see is the series go 2-2 as a fan.
Yeah, I still can't believe, and I'm not rubbing it in because my Yankees are out of it, obviously, and even though Boone's on shaky ground, we'll talk about that another time, but I can't believe after all those, and I know it's going to be, again, I'm not rubbing dirt into the wound, salt into the wound, after all those consecutive division titles in the 80s and 90s, you guys have only one World Series win to show for it. I still can't believe that.
I can't believe it either. You know, watching that series against the Twins still stings with Kirby Puckett. And, oh, my God, most definitely the series against the Toronto Blue Jays. That
yes, I remember that.
Really.
The walk-off.
Really stings, especially in the fashion in which they did it. So, yeah, it's painful. To have to go through all of that and be dominant in the East as long as we have been. Well, I don't like necessarily saying we, especially if I didn't play. But as dominant as the Braves have been in the Eastern Division, especially during the 90s and the early 2000s, yet for them to only have one World Series title, it does hurt. It does. But hopefully, this team is young enough to kind of ignore that a little bit and get over that, and because most of them weren't even old enough to really watch it and see it happen. So, you know, hopefully they don't hold that bad taste in their mouth throughout the rest of the series, especially the bad taste from last year in their mouth, and they just are capable of playing through.
Yeah, that's true. So it'll be interesting. But going to the American League, I know I said it in the intro, but look at God. How about the Rays on the verge of sweeping out those cheating-ass Houston Astros? I know Houston got there. But I understand they're on their way there to the American League Championship Series. And quite frankly, I was secretly hoping the Yanks would lose the Rays, because I knew the Rays would be a better matchup against the Astros. The Rays could do it all.
Mm-hmm.
They could pitch ball and they could mash like crazy. And they're doing it to the Astros. Now, I know the Astros are thinking of winning right now as we speak. They're up 1-2, I think. No, they're tied 2-2. Woo-hoo! Come on, Rays. Sweep their cheating asses out now. Sweep them out. I can't stand the Astros. God damn. I mean, those cheating motherfuckers, man, I'm still mad at them. But anyway, but before I get too off track, how about the job the Rays are doing? I mean, again, it's a shame. We talked about this last week. It's a damn shame that the Rays, as well run as they are, gets little to no love.
Mm-hmm.
Little to no love. I mean, as well run as they are, with minimal resources compared to the counterparts, to the division rivals now, the Yankees and the Red Sox, they still are factors year after year after year. It's incredible. It's so damn incredible. But I'm just, again, gotta give it to the Rays. Hopefully they complete God's work and sweep Houston's ass right out the.
Well, and this is the interesting part about that entire series. It's not like Tampa has technically been outplaying the Astros statistically, because, you know, the ERA, Houston's been hitting better. Pitching better, I'm sorry. Batting average, Houston's been hitting better. Houston actually has more earned runs, well, up until tonight. But, you know, it's the errors that Houston have, where they have more than Tampa, 4-0, with Altuve having 3 of those errors in 3 games. And that's where the series kind of takes that tilt towards Tampa. And, hey, errors are part of the game. And if you can, you know, benefit from someone's mistakes, do it. And that's what they've been doing. And I really feel bad for Altuve, but, you know, you're part of that crew that it's not even a crew. You might as well say it's 90% of baseball fans that believe that Altuve is one of those cheaters with the Astros. But, yeah, the pressure that he's probably going through and having to battle right now has to be tough on him. And I didn't want it to be like this. That they lose, you know, if they want to lose, okay, lose and lose outright by having a bunch of errors has to be heartbreaking for them. But you know, it is what it is, man. You know, if Tampa Bay wins, like you said, they're doing God's work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See?
Mm-hmm. God bless it. So praise the Lord. 3 games down. To go, they tie right to tie it. So I'm happy. I'm very, very happy. So let's wrap this podcast up with some NFL talk, shall we? The Jets, man, again, the acronym JETS, Jets stands for just in the damn season.
Yes.
I know I added some words in there, but just in the season. Fired Le'Veon Bell today.
Yeah.
They couldn't find a trading partner for him. Again, this is the free big free agent signing like a year, only a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Already fired. I feel bad for Matt for Donald. I really do. Because that kid, he's talented, but he's in a shitty-ass mess of a franchise. So,
yeah.
As far as the service of service, it was in the services for possibly for Le'Veon, he'll be on the cheap, obviously, since he got recently fired. He's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Jets has to pick up the rest of his contract. There are a lot of suitors out there rumored for his services, like the 49ers. I heard somewhere the Chiefs. I heard somewhere the Buccaneers. I don't think they're working those two places. Maybe the Buccaneers can fall in line with Brady. Another one, top of my head. Even
funny
the
thing
Steelers,
is, with the Bucs, running back is not their problem.
Right.
So, I mean, at Le'Veon, then we'll be adding another talent, yes, but does that necessarily help what their woes are? Not necessarily, but, you know, who am I? I'm not a GM, right? I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, another one is all the Patriots, which makes a lot of sense to me.
And that's what I was thinking this whole time. I'm like, if he finds his way in Foxborough behind a healthy Cam Newton, yeah. And if somehow he can return to the Pittsburgh Le'Veon Bell, watch out. But the problem is, of course, with running backs, it's very rare, especially nowadays, that you see, well, yeah, and it's rare. And that one guy that's in rare in company is Adrian Peterson. Even though AP ain't putting up AP numbers, he's still putting up pretty decent numbers for a man of his age and the amount of time that he's getting. But I digress. But, yeah, if Le'Veon can come out there and be beneficial or more beneficial than what they have, especially with Sony Michel being on the IR right now, again, I say uh-oh. So.
Yeah, uh-oh is right. Or what's his name? That was, or like a name – the Olympic hurdler to try to sing the national anthem. Not hurdler, but sprinter.
Lewis.
He said, yeah, Carlos. He said, uh-oh.
Carl Lewis.
That's the national anthem. but anyway, oh, by the way, also you whippersnappers. Can't believe I said whippersnappers out loud. But anyway, Google that.
Yeah, you did.
You'll thank me later as well.
Carl Lewis national anthem.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I think it worked best in New England as well. The Jets are just a hot mess. Again,
mm-hmm.
Like why even try at this point? Why? If I was a draft pick, I'd be like, there's no way in hell I'm going to show up for the Jets. I'd rather like miss the season and go back to school. I don't know. Give away all that money, but still, that's just. But let's go to the brighter things. Meaningful things of this NFL weekend. First of all, one last thing about this past week. How about those Titans, man? 2 days off, a week off because of COVID. They come right back and beat down a good Buffalo team. They just smacked them. How about Ryan Tannehill? Reborn. I was wallowing at the misery under Adam Gase, formerly Adam Gase in Miami. Who I still don't know why he still had the job, let alone how he got the second job. Again, the Jets are a hot-ass mess. But anyway, how about Tannehill? And, of course, the stiff arm seen around the world and Derrick Henry shoving one Josh Norman. But the Titans are better than what I thought they were. I knew they would be good this year. I didn't think they would be this good this early.
Neither did I. I mean, they're benefiting from – the management of Bill O'Brien and
mismanagement.
yes, and the Colts not playing as well as a lot of people expected them to be playing at this moment, even though they are still 3-2 and are in second place in the division. So, I didn't think Tennessee would start out 4-0. Well, of course, their fourth game would have been against Pittsburgh, though. But for them to still be undefeated at this moment, and the way that they're looking right now, is fantastic. The thing is, though, we're only at the quarter mark, or one game into the second quarter of the season. How long can they keep this up, or how will this team look later on in the season and potentially in the playoffs? Because they're looking good now, but can they keep this play up for the rest of the season? But they have a team that's built that way, even though for the last four seasons they were 9-7. Will this team still be able to compete come playoff time?
I heard Colin Cowherd say that they're similar to the Ravens. They both are run heavy.
Mm-hmm.
They both. I mean, it's just that Baltimore's flashier in the standpoint that they have Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
But they both have mobile QBs. They both have damn good coaches. And they're both hard-nosed and great. The antithesis of this happy-ass, aired-out NFL that you got going on. But props to the Titans. Again, I look at them as the old Houston Oilers. I still think they should give the Texans the Oilers name back and just keep the Titans and just move forward with their lives. But I really like this Tennessee team. I didn't know they'd be this good so early. You know what I mean? So, again, unfortunate from former Texans coach Bill O'Brien just running their team into the ground with questionable moves, personnel moves. But I think the coach will still be there in the end. But, yeah, the Titans look pretty good. And one last team that I want to lead into this coming week is my game of the week. A 4-1 Cleveland Browns at the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. Let me say it one more time. A 4-1 Cleveland Browns. Unbelievable.
Who knew?
They're talented. We knew they were how talented they were on offense and defensively on paper. It's just that, you know, it's amazing what a coach can do. A coach who's working with you.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, they beat the teams that on paper they were supposed to beat, right?
Right.
You know, when they start the season getting mollywhopped by the Baltimore Ravens, no one expected this from them, and now they've won four straight. They beat a Cincinnati Bengals team who I thought that they were better than on paper. They beat a Washington football team who, once again, on paper they were better than, but they still allowed the WFTs to stay in the game. Then they went to Dallas to mollywop the Cowboys, and then, you know, they were able to go ahead and beat the Colts, who were at the top with 3-1. In essence, that was a pretty good matchup last week. But I would say the surprising win would be the one over the Colts. But the Colts still have been a team that's been, even though they were 3-1, they've been an iffy team this entire season. They weren't necessarily too impressive. And then they lose their defensive stalwart and Darius Leonard due to a groin injury last week. So I'm not going to take that win away from them. I mean, because you really can't take a win away from them. They've already earned it. But it's going to be very interesting to see what they do against the Steelers. If they don't beat the Steelers, then that means, in my opinion, that they're fighting for a wild card spot. If they can somehow pull it off against the Steelers, they lost to the Ravens in week one. Could this team be competing for a division title at the end of the season? It'll be interesting to see if they can keep up this play for the rest of the year. Or will they implode like they kind of did last year? So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm not going to hold my breath. They're looking good, but it's still week five. Well, week six now, so, you know. Don't hold your breath.
Here's the thing about the Steelers. Well, first of all, the Browns. The Browns, they've exceeded my expectations. I thought the Brownies were going to go Brownies and just find a way to push it up. But they haven't so far. And it's coaching staff actually getting a lot of players, realizing that the Browns are better as a run-first team, even though Nick Chubb is out indefinitely for a while. But how about you them using Odell Beckham Jr. finally? You saw how he did against the Cowboys, and the Cowboys can't stop me nor you on defense. But still, he showed out, and he had a decent game last game against the Colts. The Browns, this is going to be interesting. If I could see – let me see if I can see the schedule. Hold on one second.
I actually had it.
They play at the Steelers. You mentioned earlier, but they play go to Cincinnati. They should beat Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
They host the Raiders. They host the Texans. They host the Eagles. They go to Jacksonville. And then they have a game against the Titans, at the Titans. If you look between the Steelers game and the Titans game, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 should-be wins for the Browns.
Oh, you skipped one. You skipped Vegas.
Yeah, I'm counting Vegas as a win.
Oh,
count
Vegas
as
a win.
Mm,
okay.
Yeah, I'm counting that as a win. Cleveland. Because they're becoming the Cleveland. And it'll be
So if they somehow go 9-2 by week 14?
Yeah. 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 That's what I'm saying. They have an opportunity. The Browns have a damn good opportunity to make a stake in the AFC playoff race, if not the division. There's a possibility. And I'm gonna get to my Steelers in a second because the Steelers right now we haven't played anybody, if we're being real. So even if they did lose against the Steelers, you're looking at again 5 wins. Bengals at the Bengals, hosting the Raiders, hosting the Texans, hosting the Eagles, and going to visit Jacksonville. That's 5 wins. So this Cleveland Browns team at 9-2, they're staring at possibly 9-2 or 10-1, headed to the Tennessee game. That's amazing. The Cleveland freaking Browns, possibly looking at 9-2 or 10-1. I'm thinking they'd be probably 9-2.
But if you look at the rest of the season, the remaining 5 games, like you said, they will be at Tennessee, at home against Baltimore. They're going on the road to get to New York twice to play the Giants and the Jets in consecutive weeks, respectively, and then their final game is against the Steelers. What you're saying is they have the opportunity to go 11-5 easily.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yes. Oh, most definitely.
On paper, 11-5. Yeah.
At the very least. So.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. But I mentioned the Steelers earlier. This is going to be a test for them too. Because, again, we haven't played anybody. We beat the Giants, Broncos, Texans, and Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly should have lost to the Texans and the Eagles, to be honest with you. Almost gave away the game against the Broncos. So it's going to be interesting to see if we're either legit or fool's gold. This Browns game will tell us a lot. Now, mind you, they were allowing fans back into the game, to the stadium in Pittsburgh, but it won't be nearly as full. It'll probably only be a small fraction. So, again, there won't be any real home field advantage, which is interesting about this season. Oh, home field advantage, NFL, that's just crazy. But, nevertheless, if they do beat the Browns, they're looking at a game at the Titans, a rescheduled game against the Titans, followed by, get this murderous role, at Baltimore, they go to Dallas. Dak Prescott is out. For the rest of the season, but the defense, again, cannot stop me nor you, but they're at Dallas. And they're facing the Bengals again. Well, not again. They face the Bengals for the first time at home. They go to the Jaguars, and they host the Ravens. They host the Washington football team, whatever they call themselves. Then the end of the season is going to be real interesting. The last 4 games, they go to Buffalo. That's the night game. They go to Cincinnati for Monday night. That should be a win. They come home against the Colts and wrap up at Cleveland. That's going to be an interesting close of the schedule. So, again, the Browns game this week is going to start a gauntlet, a 3-game gauntlet. They host the Browns, and they go to Tennessee, and then they go to Baltimore. That's the next three games. So they got to get that Browns W, because otherwise, those next two games after that, they don't look too welcoming, if you will. So it's going to be very, very, very interesting going forward. But, again, this is going to be easily my game of the week. Lots of implications, not only in the AFC playoffs, but, well, not only the AFC North, which has turned out to be a damn good division, but it's been the AFC playoff race as well. Right quick, what do you make of Dan Quinn finally getting fired along with the GM, Dimitroff, from the Falcons? I think the firings came at least a year too late. They should have fired him last year. And I know that the Falcons ran, they had like a winning streak to end the season last year. That was proven to be fool's gold. But to me, they should have fired Quinn after he chose to win the Super Bowl. That's when he should have been fired, in my opinion. Give him a 28-3 lead against the Patriots. But, you know, again, I thought they should have fired him like after last season. But here we are. They fired him. And Matt Ryan may or may not be the franchise QB, according to owner Arthur Blank. So if you're the Falcons, do you tank for Trevor?
As much as everyone likes to throw it around and the whole phrase of tanking around, right? You know how hard it is to actually tank? You know, you got to look at the Dolphins attempted to tank last year and it didn't work, but they still got the QB that they wanted anyway, because, you know, the whole thing was supposed to be tanking for Tua. They tried to tank.
Right.
They weren't successful, and they still got Tua anyway. But, you know, that was more so because of Tua's injury and him falling to them. But that's a whole other conversation for another time. Dan Quinn and his firing, I will say this. This is a team that's been dealing with a lot of injuries on the defensive side of the ball especially. But
right.
That offense hasn't been the same offense ever since Kyle Shanahan left, and they really haven't been able to find an appropriate successor for him to coach that side of the ball. And it's really showed. Like they, when Shanahan left, they couldn't run the rock. And even with the passing game, it still wasn't enough for them to necessarily compete with teams with points on the board on a consistent basis because, of course, the defense was giving up scores.
Right.
I don't know if last year would have been the year to do it because, once again, it was another year where they were dealing with a ton of injuries. But, yeah, 0-5 this year, and Matty Ice, once again, not looking right again. And he's been on this interesting decline ever since that Super Bowl loss. So I'm wondering whether or not the loss of Shanahan has affected him as well. Maybe the loss of the running game has affected him. But, yeah, when they said that he may not be the franchise QB anymore next season, I wasn't necessarily surprised because of the way that he's looked over the past 2 to 3 years. And they have talent at the receiver spot. But, you know, it seems as though all you have to do is just double Julio, and the other guys just haven't really been playing that well. So, yeah, it's I mean, they're basically just hitting the panic button and getting ready to prepare themselves for next season. The thing is, of course, who will they hire as a GM? Because, of course, that would also dictate who they bring in as a head coach. I know a lot of people like Raheem Morris. I'm a big Raheem Morris guy as well. And if memory serves me, I think he has HBCU ties too, but he has ties here in D.C. as well. But, it's just that I don't know if Raheem is going to be necessarily the guy that you go ahead and stick with as the head coach, even though I believe he can be. It'll just be very interesting to see what direction they go into with the GM first, because that'll dictate everything else. That'll dictate who they bring in as the head coach. The head coach will probably make a decision along with the GM on whether or not Matty Ice is the guy or if they need to go elsewhere. And then they'll make moves from there.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. I just – I would say I feel bad for Matt Ryan, but, yeah, he's one of those guys who, you know, if he's on a squad that, look, everything's gone by, he will click otherwise. If he can't elevate. He's not a guy to elevate. But I think they should start – well, not just take per se, but they do end up crapping away the rest of the season. They got to take a hard look at whether holding on to Matt Ryan and Julio Jones would be worth it, because you could probably get some draft picks for those two guys. I think Julio's still in his prime, and I think you'd be wasting away at this point. So I think that it may be time to just, you know, maybe consider rebooting. But who could coach that squad, though? I mean, you listen to Raheem Morris. I thought he got a raw deal in Tampa. You know, Tampa, he wasn't really ready in Tampa, but I still think he got a raw deal. That's just a mess. But New Orleans Saints fans are celebrating, they're reveling in Atlanta Falcons' misery. I tell you, man, that robbery has to be the most pettiest in all of sports. It just cracks me up. It just cracks me up to no end. But yeah, I just don't have. But one last game I want to mention, want to point out, a sneaky good game. The 4-1 Chicago Bears at the 3-2 Carolina Panthers. If anyone told you at this point in the season that both teams be over 500 and the Bears only lose one game, either someone's high as hell or they're lying. Even the fan bases didn't think this would happen. But here we are. So, how about the job that Teddy Bridgewater is doing in Carolina without Christian McCaffrey? And by the way, I'm beating without McCaffrey, not to say that they don't need him, but they're without them holding a fourth down by the running back by committee. But Bridgewater's been balling. He's been balling, which is great for him. It's a great story. I really like that guy. And he's a very likable guy, period. He's going through so much as far as injuries. But how about those Panthers? And I still think the Bears are a little bit of fool's gold, but that was a good win they had against the Buccaneers this past Thursday. But anyway, how about those two squads, man, in what could be a very competitive game?
Yeah, and I expect it to be a competitive game. Like you said, Teddy Bridgewater has been thriving over the past 3 weeks, oddly enough, without Christian McCaffrey. We're playing under Matt Rhule, and it's interesting that, you know, their three wins have been over the Chargers. My God, the Chargers have to be the best 1-5 team in the NFL right now. That sneaky win. Oh, yeah, very much so, and I'm still trying to figure out why that's the case. You know, the Panthers stole the win over the Cardinals 2 weeks ago, and then, of course, they beat down the aforementioned Atlanta Falcons last week. The thing is, though, the next few weeks they have Chicago, they go on the road to the Saints, and then they got the Falcons. Again, the thing is, that could be another two wins for this team. And I would not have expected this from the Carolina Panthers, a team that only won, did they win only four games just last year? No, they won five last year. And they're two wins away from getting five again, and probably can do it within the next couple of weeks. It's very interesting to see how this organization has rebounded a year later after getting rid of Ron Rivera. It's interesting because this isn't the Carolina Panther team that I'm used to seeing, because, you know, that team – under Ron Rivera, and even before Rivera was there, stout on defense, run the ball, and allow the quarterback to manage.
Yeah.
Quarterback you're managing?
Yeah.
I don't know if I was saying that this defense is stout, but I haven't seen them necessarily play. But they've been beating the teams teams on their level or slightly lower than them in tight ones. So, yeah, if they can somehow keep it tight with the Bears, They could probably steal one, but the Bears are just like them. They are stout on defense. They can run the ball with David Montgomery, and they have a QB that can manage. Like you said, it's going to be an interesting one. I have the Steelers – not the Steelers, I'm sorry. I have the Bears winning this one. But it's going to be a very close one. It's going to be a very interesting one.
Yeah. It would very well be indeed. But we'll see, bro. We'll definitely see. But thanks a lot, man. Hopefully your Braves will recover for game four, and we'll go from there.
I hope so, too. Hopefully at this point next week, they'll be in the World Series, man.
All right. Oh, one more thing. I'm sorry. Yeah. Damn it. Speaking of quarterbacks, do you think this is the end of – I know we talked about it last week, but I've got to bring it up because, you know, I know Alex Smith played. I don't know if Kyle Allen will be out this week. But given how far Dwayne Haskins demoted, I still think this has to be his last year in Washington, which is unfortunate because it's only – he hasn't even played a full season, but
it is. And it's a very, very sad situation from the beginning. Even though there was a lot of, there were a lot of positive hopes from the fan base, and from some in the front office of the organization, hoping that it would become positive, but it just hasn't transpired. You know, there were high hopes for him. There were a lot of people that, even though they didn't think that he was completely developed, thought that he would be the guy to learn under Alex Smith and develop and become the franchise QB. But it just hasn't panned out. It was just kind of weird, the timing of the stomach bug that he came up with last week, and now they officially announced today that he's still dealing with that. And for his benefit, they've asked that he stay away from the organization, you know, so they can go ahead and get better. But to your question, it looks as though Kyle Allen will be the starter this Sunday if he continues to be healthy. The interesting thing, though, will be whether or not Alex Smith takes the field again this Sunday or not. He did not look well, but that wasn't because of him. That was because of that tissue-thin offensive line that was in front of him playing against a very good Los Angeles Rams defensive line where, you know, of course you get three sacks from Aaron Donald, but the one guy that they have on that squad that was literally off the practice squad who had never gotten any sacks ever got three sacks in that game against the against the Washington football team this past Sunday.
Yeah.
So whomever is behind that O-line, hopefully they can stay upright. And once again, I understand the attempt of the gamble, but this is potentially going to be another week, even though they're playing against the Giants, who are coming off a tough loss against the Cowboys. This will probably be another week where this team is exposed again. And it'll show that it's not just Haskins' fault that this team has been playing the way that they have. The bad thing is, though, there are just other QBs that were taken in his class and after that, even though they're not on winning teams, they just play well, like Justin Herbert with the Chargers. My God, what he threw three, four touchdowns against the Saints this past Monday? Dwayne hasn't done that yet, you know, but it's still a testament to he only started 1 year at Ohio State. And, you know, there were some that saw that as a detriment, but, you know, people like to talk about nepotism. You know, when your son went to high school with Dwayne and liked him in high school and told daddy, hey, dad, it'd be great if Dwayne plays with us. That's the epitome of nepotism right there. So, you know, hey, it is what it is. I just hope that the things that they're saying about him and his attitude aren't true. And I'm hoping that what they're saying that
his manager is saying aren't true either, because those are just things that are going to be a detriment to him in his future. But whatever he does and wherever he goes, I just hope that he's learning from these experiences and hopefully to make him a better football player. But, yeah, I don't know what his future holds here in D.C., but he was drafted to a coach in Jay Gruden that didn't like him. He's not Ron's guy. He's not playing the way Ron wants him to play. So, yeah, I believe that his time is short here. I don't know when it will end or how it will end. The thing is, I just hope that it doesn't end this season, because sooner or later, he'll have another opportunity to play. If you watch Sunday's game, the way that Kyle Allen plays, he has the propensity and the history of getting knocked out of games. And my God,
right.
The way that Alex looked, you're going to need a backup. So, you're just one more concussion away from being right back on the field. So, get yourself ready and get yourself prepped, man. You can't be pouting around like they say that you were last Wednesday and last Thursday. So, now I just hope that whatever the maturity issues that they say he has, as it pertains to his attitude and his willingness to learn the playbook, he's going to have to make a change quick if he's going to want to continue to play in the NFL.
Quick, fast, in a hurry. Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Hopefully it'll be better news next week for you. All right. Take care.
Yeah.
Be with.
You do the same, man.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace. Happy birthday again, brother. All right.
Thanks, man.
All right, that's my guy, D. Nash. Please check him out on the @HTU Sports. We rap about all things HTU Sports. That's where Sleazy Radio is for live every Tuesday night, and it's good work on heroesports.com. Thanks again for tuning to tonight's podcast. This is Scott Berg signing up. And during this pandemic, keep your ass at home. If not, wear a mask, wash your hands, and as always, 06. Hey.